Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
We've been talking the last couple of weeks about, as we make our journey towards Advent, as we think about the birth of Christ, we want to think about the person of Jesus. What was it about Jesus as a man that so transformed the way people changed their lives, about how it altered our world? Last week we talked about how Jesus, about his humanity, about how Jesus came from very humble background. He was a carpenter. He knew what it was like to get up in the morning and go to work. He knew what it was like to work with his hands. He knew what it was like to have to deal with paying bills from a very common, ordinary background. He knew what it was like to have family problems. He had tensions within his own family as he was doing his ministry. He knew what it was like to deal with difficult and sometimes outrageous people. He knew what it was like to be rejected. And so when we look at Jesus' life, he understands our situation through and through. He understands the struggles that we go through. He understands the tensions that we have. And so people followed him because he knew their situation. He didn't come from royalty. He didn't come from the palace. He came from Bethlehem. He came from Nazareth in Judea. He came from ordinary backgrounds. And people reached out to him because he knew them and their situation. But that wasn't the only reason that they followed him. When you look at Jesus' writings, there have been no other person in human history that have changed the way human beings have related to one another. His writings have been translated into over 2,700 different languages. The next closest book that has ever been translated was the book called Don Quixote, by Cervantes, and it was written into over 60. Jesus' words have had more impact than anybody else. There are more books about what Jesus said. There are more commentaries that are trying to describe what Jesus said. There are more people that have dedicated their life to understand what Jesus said all through human history. Nobody else has had more impact than he has. He wrote and spoke more about what it means to be a human being, how we relate to one another. Jesus spoke about things like morality, about money issues, about society, about economics, about governments, about how people relate to one another. Jesus wrote more about why we live in tension with one another, why we struggle to survive, and why we struggle with one another in our world around us. He helped explain all that is going on. And even today, we still gather to try and understand the depth of what he wrote about. Jesus didn't come to just tell us, well, this is how you plant a field, and you can take it or leave it. We struggle to understand the reality that Jesus is trying to give us, trying to understand. So when we think about who Jesus is, we think about him as a human being, a man that struggled with people and families and circumstances, but also a teacher that understood and challenged us to see our lives differently. And we are gathered here this morning because Jesus is inviting us into a different world, to think differently about who you are and especially about who you could be. So much so that it's going to challenge you to think differently about the path that you're on. And sometimes that conflict that occurred within people awoke something deep within them. As we gather this morning, we want to think about, what is Jesus stirring within us? What is Jesus awakening within us? What revelations lie just within his words? His words are as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago because they speak not to the moment in time, but to the human condition. Think about it this way. Imagine that you had received a brand new car, but you never knew. You've never seen a car before. You don't really know how they work. Cars were designed to run on gasoline. That's how they function. You put oil in the crankcase, you fill the tank up with gasoline. Any other fuel And the car will not run right. If you try and put in water, if you try and put in lard, if you try and put in canola oil, it doesn't matter. It's not going to function appropriately. It was only designed to run on gasoline. What Jesus comes to tell us is that the human condition, the human being, is designed to work on a special kind of fuel, the Spirit of God. That Spirit speaks to each and every one of us. And it reminds us that if we're running on anything else, it's going to eventually conk out and run out of energy. So this morning, Jesus is here to teach us something about who we are, about the life that you have before us. We're going to open up God's Word and let it speak to us about who we are and who we can become. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Reading from Matthew chapter 13, listen to the words of Jesus. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the stream rose, and the winds blew, and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, we gather this morning to be stirred and to be awoken, to feel your presence within us, and to become new creations. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' time, people, most of the peasant population, lived in such a way as just trying to survive. They were at the mercy of the elements. If a drought came through, the crops failed, and people lived on just what little excess they had. If by circumstances the winds changed and blew out of the west, out of the east, oftentimes locusts would come in and strip the crops bare, and they were learning just to survive. In this kind of environment, it was incredibly uncommon to see people gathering in great quantities, to hear somebody teaching. And so when we hear that through the New Testament that there were 4,000 people came out to hear Jesus preaching, or that there were 5,000 that came along with their wives and their children, we think about 15,000 to 20,000 people gathered to hear what he said. And after they often heard what Jesus spoke, they often responded in the New Testament by saying two things. When people heard Jesus preach, heard him teach, they were both amazed at the new things that he was saying, but also with the authority with which he said them. That idea of the authority is the idea that he spoke like somebody who knew. He came to say, this is what it's really like. This isn't my theory. This isn't my philosophy. This is the word of God that I'm giving to you. This is how it really is. And people went, wow, we've never heard anything like that. Oftentimes we hear Jesus' words, and sometimes they become just things that we've heard over and over again. But for the people that heard them for the first time, they were power. They revealed something deep about the human condition. In Mark chapter 1, we hear that the people were so amazed that they ask each other, what is this? Is it a new teaching? And with authority. People believed that Jesus had something to say, something to speak into their lives. In Mark chapter 2, we see again that when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's the wisdom that has been given him, and what are these remarkable miracles he's performing? People were so inspired by what he had to say. He spoke about a different life. He didn't speak about how to acquire more or how to do investing or how to acquire more for yourself or your family or protect yourself. He spoke about the core things of life, and people were amazed. This morning as we gather, we live within a tension. There is a tension that is happening with you even today. As you hear the words of Jesus speaking to us, there is a tension that is occurring even within your own mind. There are two things that are battling for control of how you live your life. The first one is your ego, that idea of self, of what you can accomplish yourself. The ego looks at the world and says, once I have everything in its proper place, once I am able to accomplish everything that I want to accomplish in life, then I will have peace. Whatever I can put in its proper place will give me peace. It'll give me purpose and significance. Jesus takes this and puts it on its head. He said, once you understand the purpose and the mission of life, once you have peace with who you are and with who God is, then everything else will fall into its place. And the question is which of those two is going to win out in your own life? I will accomplish what I need to accomplish, and that will give me significance. Or Jesus has given me significance and purpose and mission, and that will dictate what I do with my life. Which of those two is living out in your life? When Jesus came to teach, he taught with authority about the deep things of life, about what gives life purpose and mission and significance in your life. But Jesus engaged people because he spoke with picture stories. Jesus came to say, look, it's important that if you hear a philosophy and you say, this is true, then you must act on it. It's only important to the extent that you act on it, that it changes your behavior. If you hear something that is true, but do something completely different, he said, you're like a foolish person. You build your house on foolishness. You do whatever you want to do, knowing that the rains are going to come down and the winds are going to blow in life and the rivers are going to come. That's a part of life. That's the world in which we live. He said, if you live that way, eventually your life will collapse. He said, those that hear my words, that learn about who I am and about what life is all about, those who learn the fuel that life lives off of or energizes us, if you live off of that, then you're like a wise person. You build off of the truth. Then whenever you're challenged by winds and rain, by circumstances, by medical issues, by uncertainty, by chaos, your house will stand because your values are firm and sure. Jesus gives us picture stories in order to help us understand the deep things of life. The reason that we're here today is not to just become better people, but to understand the deep purpose of life, to help us in that battle between the ego that is battling for control or the mind of God, which says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But whenever Jesus spoke, you find two things begin to happen almost around those people that he speaks to. And it's going to happen in any circumstance that Jesus' words are spoken. Two things will often happen. The first thing is some people are going to be inspired and some people are going to be irritated. And you see that happening in all of the circumstances where Jesus speaks. In Mark chapter 11, when Jesus is speaking, the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, and they began to look for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Jesus speaks about the true things of what life is all about, and you have a tension. This tension begins to play out. And there are some people that are amazed at his teaching. It's about life, and it's about what it's all about, what significance, what life has meaning. And yet it irritated the bejeebers out of another class of people. But they feared what Jesus had to say. They feared people getting a hold of this kind of information. And so what often happens is sometimes when we hear Jesus' words, when we hear the gospel, we only want to hear certain sections of it. We only like certain sections that talk about grace and mercy and forgiveness because we assume that's for us. But whenever Jesus challenges us, whenever he says words that convict us, give and it will be given to you, or we hear Jesus say things like, pick up your cross and follow me, or Jesus say, wash the feet of your neighbor as I have washed your feet, we kind of go, well, I don't really need to hear that part. I don't want to hear that part. Let's put that off to the side. I don't want to hear so much about stewardship or finances. That's not for me. That's for somebody else. I'm going to put that off to your side. And all of a sudden, we start creating a gospel for ourselves. We become our own gospel. And I love what Augustine says. It's in your sermon notes. If you believe what you like in the gospel and you reject the parts that you don't like, it's not the gospel that you believe. It's yourself. We believe in the parts that we want. And yet Jesus comes to convict us. He comes to challenge us because he loves us that much that he's not going to leave us just in the status quo. And so the challenge that happens for all of us in this tension between the ego and the kingdom of God is the challenge of, will you be inspired by the new kingdom that he offers to you? Or are you going to be irritated that he asks you to do and to be more than we currently are? Jesus is always going to either inspire you or he's going to irritate you. The other thing that Jesus comes to do is he comes to teach us about grace and truth. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew, speaking primarily to a Jewish audience, comes out and says, the law, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, the things that make Jewish people, that comes through Moses. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to bring us grace and truth. Not just grace, grace and truth. If we offer people just grace, the forgiveness of God, then it's almost a hypocrisy. Do whatever it is you want to do. It doesn't matter. God will forgive you for whatever you want to do. It's grace and truth. But if we focus just on the truth, if we focus on just being the right kind of people, then we come to a sort of brutality. Do you measure up? Are you doing all that you're supposed to be doing? And if you don't, then we're going to come down hard on you. Jesus comes to bridge that gap between grace and truth. And yet, if you think that Jesus isn't challenging you to be more than you currently are, it was Jesus that in John's Gospel, chapter 6, says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. A command. How are you doing on that? How are you doing on your journey to be perfect? John Wesley, the founder of the United Methodist Church, said, we are on the road to perfection. Just because we are part of God's kingdom doesn't mean that we have stopped learning and growing. We are constantly growing and learning into what Jesus had to offer us. It's the truth of what Jesus offered us. We are on the road to perfection. That is our mission, to become like Christ. It is a journey that will never end for us. We are constantly growing and learning. And if we fail and we stumble, we have grace that is there to catch us and to lift us back up again. But we never get tired of the journey. We never get tired of making the attempt. Jesus speaks to us about coming with grace and truth. Do you remember the story of the woman that was brought to Jesus? Brought to him because she was caught in the act of adultery. Can you imagine the scene, the scandal that this erupts? And when they kept on questioning him, they were questioning Jesus, what are you going to do with this woman? We know what the Torah says. We know what truth says. What should happen to people that are caught in adultery? He straightened up and he said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And they all walked away. It is the balance between grace and truth. And then he turns and he says, woman, where are those that condemn you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Don't just go back to the same lifestyle. Change your life and change your thoughts. For all of us, we have an opportunity. But whenever we find someone to blame or something to blame as they found a scapegoat. Once we find a scapegoat for our lot in life, we stop growing. We stop thinking. We know the answer that we're looking for. And so Jesus challenges us out of our complacency and says, what role did you have in this situation? If you're ready to hear what Jesus has to offer, it's going to irritate you or it's going to inspire you, but he's going to do it with grace and truth. The final thing, and this is usually where most of us end up falling apart, is that Jesus was painfully practical and personal. This is what irritates most of us. It's one thing to talk about theology, to talk about in the Middle Ages, one of the great debates, if you can imagine, was the argument about how many angels would fit on the head of a pin. And there are great debates that would go on about the nature of angels, but not about the practical aspects of life. Jesus and his teachings was intensely personal and practical. When Jesus spoke, he spoke about your life, about the things that you had the ability to do. Look at what it says in Matthew 22. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God. And when they heard this, they were amazed, and so they left and went away. Somebody had come to Jesus and said, hey, we want to try and trap him. What should we do between the tension between our faith, what we owe to God, and our government? And Jesus didn't just sidestep the issue. He said, give to God what is God, and to Caesar what is Caesar's. Now, what if we took that approach? Give to your government the things that are owed to that, but give to God the things that are owed to him. Everything belongs to God. How are we doing with that? It challenges us on a deep and personal level. Or imagine the times that Jesus spoke up and he said, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. And if someone takes your coat, do not withhold a shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. How are we doing with that? That is intensely personal. It's about how we live with one another. Or imagine the story that Jesus told to an audience just like today. He said, imagine you're going out and there's this man who was traveling to a distant city, but as he went along, he fell into the hands of robbers, and through circumstances, he was beaten up and left half dead. And as he went along, there were people that traveled by, people going to the store to get groceries, or people that had to go get their oil changed, or people on their way to their job, and as they passed by, they just didn't have the time to stop and help this poor soul. Until there was kind of somebody from the lower seedy side of life, maybe even a drug dealer that is coming by, and he sees them and has compassion. Which is a neighbor in that situation? He challenged us to think not only about the world as it is, but about our role, our part in the whole story. It becomes intensely personal and incredibly powerful. Here's the bottom line. Jesus was an incredible teacher. When people heard him, they were amazed at his authority that he spoke with. Now, if I were to come to you and say, now, listen, next Sunday, Jesus is going to show up here and he's going to teach and with the same power and authority. And he's going to share a bit about God's kingdom and about your life and your role in it. What would you do to show up for that meeting? Would you show up? What would you give up? What would you set aside? What in your schedule would you set aside to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear what he had to teach? What would you sacrifice in order to learn the things that he wanted to give you? Jesus' words are as powerful today as they were 2,000 years ago. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. They will always be there to learn and to share the truth about God's kingdom. If I were to offer you that God has a word for your life, right where you are, the things you're struggling with today in your life, your journey, your path that God has called you to, and I said, next Sunday, he's going to share that with you with power and with energy. What would you do to show up? Would you show up? That's the challenge that we all face, that God's word is coming to us on a consistent basis. It is available to you. Now, many people, when they talk about the Bible, they'll say, but I have such a hard time reading it because it's in a stilted language, it's of a different time and a different area. I don't even know where to start. There is a wonderful place to start for anybody that wants to hear the power and authority of Jesus' words. It's called a message translation of the Bible. It's a wonderful way to at least begin the process, to start the growing process. Open it up. Let it begin to feed you. It'll feed a different side of your life, a different part of your brain, and a different part of your spirit. Jesus wants to be a teacher in your life, to speak with power and authority about God's kingdom and about what you can become if you allow him to be your teacher, to be your mentor. There was a time when Jesus sat with 4,000 people that listened to him and were amazed at the things that he said. There was another time that 5,000 gathered to just soak in the truth about life and about what it could all mean. The challenge that lies before all of us is to allow that truth deep within us. Allow it to be a nugget, a seed that Jesus often said. Allow it to grow and begin to nurture all of us. Jesus was a great teacher. But here's the challenge for all of us that we all have to wrestle with. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus asked them, "Don't you have any faith?" But they were frightened and amazed. And they said to each other, "Who is this?" That's the question that lies before you each and every time we gather. Who is this? Are we amazed at what he says? Do we believe the authority with which he says it? Are we like the foolish man that says, "I've heard this stuff over and over again, but I'm not going to put it into practice"? Or are you like the wise person that says, "I've heard this over and over again. I'm building my life on these principles so that when circumstances come that I can't control, I can stand up against anything"? Remember that passage, Philippians chapter 4? "Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this morning for your presence among us, to teach us, to guide us, to convict us and to challenge us, but never to leave us just as we are. We are growing, O God, into the image of Christ, bit by bit, moment by moment, prayer by prayer. So bless us, O God, as we continue to be strengthened by Jesus' words. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.